Hello to all you Eagles fans out there. This is episode 21 of the Missing Link podcast. Your connection to the Eagles through the eyes of a fan. Today, we'll be reviewing the Eagles' 23-17 win over the Giants in overtime and looking forward to the Redskins matchup this week. What a weird game to experience. Still, like, coming down from the absolute highs and lows of that Giants game. It looked like at halftime that I was going to turn off the television, go to bed angry, and consider this season thrown away and wasted. But what do the Eagles do? They get down to one healthy wide receiver, despite the injuries, despite the obstacles put in their path. They march down the field in overtime, score a game-winning touchdown to Zach Ertz, and complete the 14-point comeback to beat the Giants. Wow. It's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? Because on one hand, the Giants are terrible, and it really shouldn't have come down to an overtime victory. It really should have been a situation of the Eagles blowing them out if they are a team that we feel like can go anywhere in the playoffs, which I'm not sure how you can feel that way at this point in time. But then they won, right? And the season's still alive, and the playoff hopes are still there. It's really just like a micro look at the way this season has gone, both bad and good. You know, I feel great that they're winning and the season's still alive. And then I feel bad that the injuries have piled up. It looks like they're going to be too much to overcome in the long haul. You gave up how much to Eli Manning? I mean, I don't think that guy threw an interception the entire game. He had two touchdowns. Darius Slayton, their wide receiver, had 152 yards with two touchdowns. It's the same frustrations that have been plaguing this 2019 version of this team. They can't keep people out of the end zone, and Carson Wentz comes up with the heroics, has a fourth quarter comeback, caps it off with a touchdown to Ertz. That's just a game Carson needed, man. I mean, he needed to come out and shut the critics up, put the team on his back, go down the field in overtime, and score that tutty. Couldn't be happier for the guy. But it came at a cost, and the cost of that is injuries. Lane Johnson goes down midway through the game with a right ankle injury. He's already out for this week against the Redskins. We saw already what happened earlier this year. He goes out of the game. He's out for an extended period of time. This offense is different. I hope to God they put Vitae out there and they don't try that Dillard experiment again. You have the wide receiving crew. Sean Jackson's already hurt. Hasn't been able to play. Alshon Jeffrey trots out there. Looks like he has a LeFranc injury. He's going to be out for up to 9 months. It's just, they already guaranteed a salary for next year. They're in a tough spot, man. I mean, he's turning 30 years old. He's probably not going to be ready till maybe not even training camp, probably just the start of the regular season. And he's already slow and he couldn't get a lot of separation. He's got great hands and he's a big guy. But how much more does this guy have in the tank? Nelson Aguilar, I don't know what's up with that guy. I mean, holds his knee after dropping a pass a couple weeks ago and you think it's just kind of him miming. But, you know, he's had a knee injury and he's already out for this week against the Redskins as well. So must be legitimately injured because it's been hobbling him or keeping him out of the last couple of games. The Eagles are beat up, and it's not the same kind of beat up as the 2017 version. In the 2017 version, you lose Jason Peters. Vitae steps up, plays really well. You lose the quarterback. Nick Foles steps up, plays out of his mind. But the skill position players, the offensive line in general, and the defense all played lights out. And with Derek Barnett hurt, secondary not playing up to their potential, and the offensive skill position players. I mean, we had one wide receiver left at the end of the game last week. I mean, Josh McCown, backup quarterback, we're about to throw him in there because we just don't have enough bodies to put out there. This is just different. You know, you can't rely on your tight ends and your running backs to take you too far. I don't know if this offensive group has what it takes to muster a run to the playoffs and then to the Super Bowl. I don't see the explosiveness. I mean, potentially, if DeSean Jackson comes back by the first week of the playoff run, I mean, that might be a different story. But as it stands now, Greg Ward, Joshua Perkins, etc., they're not going to scare any defensive coordinators moving forward. But overall, looking at the Giants game, Eli Manning is who we thought he was. Not a great quarterback, old, washed up. Saquon Barkley didn't really seem to get too much going, but that wide receiving crew with Darius Slayton, rookie, pretty much has done nothing up to this point this year. Of course, goes absolutely off on us. 152 yards with two touchdowns. That's just inexcusable. Credit to the Eagles for coming back after being 14 points down and scoring and winning in overtime, but I'm not going to take away too many good feels from this game. The Giants are not a good football team. I think it's pretty clear that the Eagles are not a very good football team. But we're going to at least put that to bed for now because the Redskins are coming up and they're not good either. And they're also hurting. Let's transition over to the Redskins because I'm actually going to be at the game this week. Who is Carson going to be able to throw the ball to? Because the injury report is just like the walking dead. You look at this. Okay, so in week one, when the Eagles played against the Redskins, this was the lineup. They had Jordan Howard at running back, Darren Sproles, Corey Clement. You remember these guys? Remember these running backs that we used to have? You had DeSean Jackson, who had a fantastic game, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, Mac Collins. That was the starting lineup, okay? What it's going to be this week at running back, Boston Scott, Jay Ajayi. Wow. Speaking of which, Boston Scott had a hell of a game. Considering that Wentz didn't really have too much to work with, Boston Scott, Greg Ward, even despite being the only wide receiver left, they all stepped up, man. I mean, they had a hell of a game. And it really shows it's about wanting it, right? I mean, the spark provided by these undrafted players, these guys who were on the practice squad, really speaks to how powerful it can be when someone puts the team on their back, plays with passion, plays for the fun of the game, all that stuff. I mean, it really just jolted life into this offense. And if those kinds of guys can provide that much of a spark, I have no doubt in my mind that Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, and DeSean Jackson, they're all more talented. But you got to show passion, man. Like, you got to go out there and you got to play with enthusiasm. And that's just something I have not seen from the team this year. They do not look like they're having fun. They look like they're just going out there doing their job. And it's just, it doesn't look fun to me. Anyway, off that tangent, the starting lineup for this week will be Boston Scott, Jay Ajayi, Greg Ward, Robert Davis, who's a wide receiver that we just called up again from the practice squad, and tight end Joshua Perkins. That's a pretty stark difference in the personnel that we had in the beginning of the year and now. There has been some ups and downs with injuries and people coming and going and whatever, but this is a very depleted crew. Luckily, the Redskins do not have a lot of firepower, both on the offensive or the defensive side. If you look at the Redskins' offense, they're ranked 32nd in the NFL, they're last in points per game, they're last in yards per game, and they're last in passing yards per game. Their offense features Dwayne Haskins, a quarterback who's a rookie, hasn't performed all that well so far this year, as you can tell by the statistics. McLaurin at wide receiver has been a great find for them, also a rookie, 700 yards, 6 touchdowns. Sure wish the Eagles had someone like that on their team. he's drafted after JJ Arcega-Whiteside, who, I mean, look, he had a go-okay catch last week. I think we're really going to see what we have with JJ from here on out. Redskins passing attack's not exactly scaring anybody. Adrian Peterson, the ageless wonder, has 718 yards and 3 touchdowns this year. He's amazing. I know he plays for the Redskins, but I'm a fan of AP, and he keeps going, man. Like, despite them wanting to bench him and not use him, every time he steps in there, he always plays well. So I would expect the exact same this weekend against the Eagles. On defense, the Redskins, they are 20th in the league. They give up 24 points a game, almost 360 yards, which is good for 18th. Passing yards, they only give up 225, which is 11th. Now, when it comes to the injury front for the Redskins, especially on defense, it's not looking so great because they've got 2 cornerbacks out. 3 cornerbacks, really, because you count Josh Norman, who hadn't been playing all that well, but he's questionable to play. Quentin Dunbar, their other corners, questionable to play. It's not looking too good. Even though the Eagles are down to practice squad players, B-level players, I feel confident that they can pull this out. With the running backs that we have, Zach Ertz at the tight end position, hopefully Goddard can be a little bit of a breakout candidate this game. I think we can get by. You know, I think we can run some basic offense. I think we can score enough points to win. It's the Cowboys game that scares me to death because I don't know if we're going to be able to keep up with that offense. But I guess we'll talk about that next week. I mentioned before, I'm going to be at this game. So I'm super excited to be with some of my best friends and have 20 of us in Eagles jerseys tailgating before the game, heading in. And it sounds like it's going to be a pretty Eagles heavy crowd. I know the stadium sucks, but I get to see the Eagles for dirt cheap. I'll take that every single day of the week. As for a prediction for this game, I think that despite the injuries and despite the lack of skill position players, the Eagles can easily outscore the Redskins. I'm going to predict a defensive touchdown. I don't know if that's going to be a fumble, interception, whatever, but I think the Eagles are finally going to take one away and take it back to the house. I'm going to go with Eagles 35, Redskins 17. I think it'll end up being one of those games that everything just kind of clicks. Both on the offensive and the defensive side, not many people are expecting the Eagles to perform that well because of those lack of skill position players. But I think having new blood in there motivate this offense to get moving. people like Boston Scott and Greg Ward, who are excited to be out there, who are going to run hard. They might not have the skills of some of the other players on the team, but that energy and that enthusiasm is infectious. And hopefully that'll rub off on the rest of the team. Redskins have a decent defense, not taking anything away from them, but I think their offense is going to end up being their kryptonite. We got to enjoy the ride while we can. The playoffs are still a couple weeks away. Don't know what's going to happen with the Cowboys. Let's just win this one, go 1-0 for the week, and then we can talk about the Cowboys next week. Hopefully they lose to the Rams, but we'll see how that goes. Stay with me, everybody. Fly, Eagles, fly. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Missing Link Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please share this with a fellow Eagles fan that you have in your life. I'm excited for a good old-fashioned Redskins ass-whooping down in Landover, Maryland, and hopefully we'll see you there. Go Birds!